And I lift my voice to worship you.
Oh my
soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Thank you. God bless you, musicians. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you be with us this evening. You watch over us. You speak to us from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all this evening. Thank you. Yes. You know, things are changing when your little girl who likes to sit by you just says to you, "Can I sit by Eliana?" It's like, yes, yes, she can. Break my little heart here. Like, oh, she's growing up. And I'm renewing my English passport. So I looked at my picture on my passport 10 years ago, like no gray in here, it was all bright red. Ah, things change. So we hold on to God's unchanging hand. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to carry on our Bible study of great women of the Bible, and we're going to carry on in 2 Kings chapter 5. And just a few verses here, but I'm going to show you in these few verses, Lord being willing, what blesses me, and how you can just take one single thought and you can run it all the way back through the Bible, backwards and forwards, how you can find things in there that will bless your life. And I'm going to show you, going to tell you how God really touched me and blessed me this evening as I was preparing with a little something. It's not for you, it's for me, but I'm going to share it with you just to give you an example of just the small ways that God touches us and God blesses us. Amen. So we're going to read a few verses, and if you'd like to stand with me, you can. From verse 1 of chapter 5. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and open it to us. You may take your seats. Ah. Well, she really kicked off a mess with that. Someone went in and told the king of Syria. This is what that little maid from Israel said. And whether it was, and most likely, it was some kind of machination. The king of Israel certainly thought that. He said, "Look at this letter. The king of Syria sent me, like I'm God, like I can, you know, heal a man of leprosy." But we're not going to go into that. You know the story, okay? We're going to go into this. He brought away captive a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And let's be very clear about this. What we're talking about basically is slavery, is a raid, and you capture, the men, the women, the children, You take them away, you sell them as slaves. And it was very common in those days. And it wasn't... So we have a concept of slavery that's maybe based on the history of American slavery, which is you bring over people to work in the plantations, in the cotton fields, and you know, you beat them, and there's a definite kind of hierarchy, and it wasn't quite the same in ancient times. Okay? And we can see this through stories like the story of Joseph, who was a slave, but he was diligent in his work, and his master said, "You're doing such a good job, I'm going to promote you." Now he's still a slave, okay, but now he's a slave that has some possessions, he has responsibilities, he has purchasing power, he can go and tell the other, even the other members of the household that weren't slaves were told to, to report to Joseph. He said, the master's put all these things in my hand, and, you know, he's not withheld anything from me except you, and you're his wife. So he was in a position of authority, a position of power. And we can also see, and we will see in the New Testament, it's not saying there weren't horrible situations of slavery. There were. But there were also situations where the tutor for a son would often be an educated slave. In the Greek world, it would often be someone who was very knowledgeable and not considered like you're inferior to me, just considered like, well, you're a very smart chap. Unfortunately, you were in the city that was sacked and you were sold as a slave and I bought you. You know, I'd like you to train up my son. And your position is a slave, but it's not, you know, there were penalties for beating slaves and killing them in certain territories, certain areas of the ancient world. So when we say this little girl is captive and is a slave, it's not saying that she was taken somewhere and she was beaten and she was abused. It's just, no, she was taken away from her family and she was made a captive and made a servant somewhere else. And being that she was a servant to the mistress of the house, to Naaman's wife, it gives us a little insight into the kind of life that she would have led. She would have been a trusted person. No, she would have been someone that is expected to be responsible for certain things. Obviously, not, you know, I'm not saying it's a nice life to be a slave like that, but she's more of a house servant, if you like. So, but I want to step back from that and say, why is it that she was that Syria was able to conquer parts of Israel, to go raiding in Israel, and to take away slaves from Israel? If Israel is God's chosen people. And the other thing that we know about her is it's not just in Israel, God's chosen people, but also she's a faithful follower of Jehovah. Or she knows about the prophet. She knows about the miracles. And she stayed faithful to the way she's been brought up. But see, she was living in Israel at the time of the reign of King Ahab. Okay, it was his son, Jehoram, who was king at this time. And while he had, well, let's just turn back a page or two to the beginning of chapter 3. So Ahab had died. His first son had become king, Ahaziah. That's in Kings chapter 1. He gets sick. He's the king that goes and says, you know, let's go back to chapter 1. All right. Ahaziah fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber. This is verse 2. That was in Samaria, and was sick. 2 Kings 1, verse 2. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go and inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, go, arise, and meet the messengers. Is it because there isn't a god in Israel that you go to inquire? He says, you're going to die. Now, he died without any children, and Jehoram was his brother, and so he inherited the throne of Israel. And it says in chapter 3, it says, now Jehoram, which is interesting, it means Jehovah is exalted. Okay? Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. Okay? And it's so interesting. So there's this friendly relationship between Jehoshaphat and Ahab and Jehoram. In fact, Jehoshaphat marries Jehoram's sister, the daughter of Ahab. Okay? So there's this compromise here. And it says, he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, Jezebel, his mother. For he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not thereto. Now, what was the sin of Jeroboam? Jeroboam was the one who broke away from the kingdom of Solomon. Rehoboam was the king, and he's like, my little finger is going to be fatter than my dad's thighs. I'm gonna enjoy the riches. And he said, okay, Israel, everyone to your tents. But he was concerned, and he said, hey, if the feast of God comes and they all go down to Jerusalem, they're all going to worship at the temple, and they're all going to go back to the king of Judah, and I won't have anything left. So he made two calves. And he put one in Dan and one in Samaria, and he said, these are your gods. Isn't it interesting that it goes all the way back to the same sin that Moses, you get away from God, you start worshiping calves. What do calves represent? The sacrifice, the labor. Okay, because now that can take us, and like I said, you can take this one little scripture and you can run it all the way backwards and forwards, because we've gone from Kings, we've gone to Exodus, we're going back to Genesis now, because calves represent the work that you do. Okay, we're going to Ezekiel, where it's the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle, or the calf and the eagle, representing the lion, the boldness, yeah, the ox, the labor, the sacrifice, the man, the wisdom, and the eagle, all attributes of God as they're expressed, right? But now what you're doing is you're saying, when we're getting away from the true and living God, what's the natural thing that we go to? We go to the calf that says, look at the work of my hands, look at the sacrifice that I'm making that shows I'm serving God. And now we can, you know, now we're back in Revelations, because those four beasts are there in Revelations. These are the things that I love to see, and we're threading our way through the scripture. And because the king had, he turned away from Baal, he turned away from the false god that caused, no wonder he caused, you know, he'd seen his brother die because he didn't honor Israel. He'd seen the miracles that Elisha brought down. Okay, in fact, we'll find, if you read there, he had a good relationship with Elisha. But he was in this compromised position. And when he was in that compromised position as the king of Israel, that put every family underneath, no matter how they served God, they were in a compromised position. And so they didn't have that defense that they had under David and under Solomon, where the fear of the Lord was upon the nations around, and Syria's like, well, band of robbers comes in. Now, there's nowhere here that says Naaman led that band of robbers. Okay? But band of robbers says, what shall we do today? Oh, let's go raid Israel. Pick up some slaves, pick up some booty, sell it on the market. Okay? And that's how this little maid came into the service of Naaman. But we can see the hand of God is working in all of this. Okay? And, you know, we have a family and we pray for them that has experienced their children being taken away from them. It's not a nice situation. No. But we pray that it's the hand of God. Well, we don't pray that it's the hand of God. We know that it's the hand of God. We pray that that would be made manifest in the life. Because here's a little girl taken away from her family, put into a strange country, into a strange land. But we can go to Proverbs where it says, and I know we're looking back to English in its gendered language form. The Hebrew isn't gendered like this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's a he and a she, okay? It's not gendered. So it's not just for you, boys. It's also for you, girls, all right? Don't depart from what you're taught when you're young. And so me, as I'm reading Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, how many people in here have a name that isn't in the Bible? Okay? Yeah, you know. You're not in the Bible? Don? Somewhere? Okay. Laura? All right. Lilia? Sorry. Michelle? You know. But sometimes that makes me feel a bit down. You know, it's like, Peter, you're in the Bible. You know, I'm not in the Bible. Nathaniel, great prophet of God, in the Bible. Anna, the great, you know, in the temple. All these wonderful stories. But as I was reading this, it struck me like never before, because it says, bring up a child in the way. And that word way in Hebrew is derech. Okay? And let's turn to Isaiah chapter 35. No way. Isaiah 35. All right. So, because identification is important. Now, how many people know what derech means in its traditional received form? Anyone? Means ruler of the people. That's why I'm good at telling everybody what to do. All right. But it just spoke to me that old nature, new nature, okay? Derek is a derivative of Theodoric in German. And my parents told me when I was growing up, because they joined Pentecostal, they were just Christians, and they said, someone prophesied and said, you're going to have a son, you call his name Derek. So I always kind of held on to that, you know. It wasn't just a random name given to me, but I'm Derek because there was a prophecy. And, you know, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose, but blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of God and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there and a way. And that's the same word, Derek. And it shall be called the way of holiness. For the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereupon. And it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And we sing that. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. That's where this comes from. But there's a highway there, and there's a way. The way of holiness. The wayfaring men, no fools, and I hold up my hand and say, I'm pretty much the biggest fool there is. Shall not err therein. And that's where my strength and my hope is, that despite the mistakes I make, God is going to keep me on the right path. And he just spoke to me that may I change from Derek, who is, you know, ruler of the people and so on. And that old nature gives way to saying, Derek, that's the way of holiness that we can walk on, that God would guide us. You know, if you think about the highway and the way, it's like there's the hard shoulder and there's the road. You get on the hard shoulder, you can still keep traveling. But if you get a bit further off the hard shoulder, you're in the ditch. Right? So you want to stay on the way. So may the Lord open to us things in the Bible. The Derek that comes from the Germanic is one thing. The Derek that comes from the Bible is another thing. May I walk in the way, you know? And another thing Jesus said, like I'm showing, just a little thought that comes and you can track it all the way through the Bible. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you and if I are the embodiment of Jesus in this day and age, then we are also the way, the truth, and the life. Not saying we're Jesus, but saying by our influence, by our actions in people's lives, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And however imperfectly in your life you're expressing Jesus Christ, however much your flesh gets in the way, and it does get in the way, but if you are following Jesus Christ, as much as you're following Jesus Christ, you are the way that other people can follow to reach him and to get into the kingdom. And we should say, can I put aside that old idea of who I am? Can I put aside those old thoughts, those old things, and be the way to somebody to reach the heavenly city? And that blessed me. And I shed a few tears. I had to try not to cry up here as well. Because that's what I want to be. Found in here, in some secret little place. God opens up and says, hey, let me show you your name in here today in a way you've never seen before, in a way that's going to call you to walk higher than you've ever been before. No? And that's how it happened to me today. And so I have a question. Did it happen to you today? Did it happen to you today? Because I'm going to have a challenge for you now. All right, Sister Mary, you're one of the nicest people I know. So encouraging. You always say good things to me. That's really wonderful. Was anyone else blessed by seeing my experience of seeing that open up in the Bible? Okay? So the question I have, the challenge I have, is if something opened up in the Bible for you today, who's the person that God's called to bring in your way to say, share this with them? Open up a little secret that God gave to you, to somebody else in their life, to encourage, to bless them, to bring them closer to God. And that way we build each other up in our holy faith. And God drops these blessings on us. You know why he drops these blessings on us? Like I said, I met a man who was very wealthy. And he said, I'll tell you the secret to being rich. Okay? And he says, the secret to being rich is to be a channel for money. Not to try and get money, but try and have as much money as possible flow through you. You want to know the secret to being blessed? It's to be a blessing to others, to find the place where God has called you to be a blessing to others. Let those blessings flow through you. Excuse me a second. For some of us, all right, how many people are blessed when Sister Karen plays the piano? Yeah? Sister Karen, are you blessed when you play the piano? Okay, you see how it works? It's not just me. I'm blessed when I preach. I'm blessed when I share the word. You're blessed. All right? And if you can find the channel that God has for you, that you, it might be a prayer warrior. No one may ever see the blessings and like the flow through of blessings that you're calling down from heaven out onto other people. But if you found that channel and God has made you that, your blessings come in fulfilling what God has done. So it's not saying you all have to jump up and shout. I mean, although Brother David, I do try to encourage people to do that. You know that. You don't all have to jump up and shout and share, but you do have to share your testimony. Okay? You do have to. But each one of us has to find the channel of blessing that God has. And it doesn't matter if you're old or young or male or female. Here's this little girl here. And she's held captive. But she sees something. She sees a need in somebody. And her thought isn't, you know, how do I get out of here? How am I grumpy? She's been brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Let's turn to Psalms 123. Okay. Maybe she'd read this psalm. All right. Maybe this was an inspiration to her. This is a song of degrees. Song of degrees were the psalms that were sung as a procession went up the steps of the temple. That's why they're all the same. They're all the same length. Okay. Unto thee I lift up my eyes, O thou that dwelleth in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. You wonder, did that scripture come to her? Did that psalm, did she remember that as she's working as a foreigner, as someone who's been ripped away from her family, ripped away from all that was familiar, taken away from, they didn't let her go to temple. They didn't let her go and have the, you know, study. She probably couldn't take a book with her. Just what was in her heart sustained her. And she said, I have a duty here because as a maiden looks to the hand of her mistress. What does that mean? You're trying to anticipate the needs. You're trying to say, what's the next thing? How can I be a good servant? How can I hold this person up that I am responsible for being the servant to? How can I anticipate their needs and come and bring something to them where they haven't realized that that's what they want, but I've realized it because I'm watching them closely and I'm already there with that cup of water. I'm already there with that shawl. I'm already there with that hairbrush or whatever it is. I'm watching and I'm saying, what's the next thing I can do to be a good servant, to fulfill my obligations, to fulfill my responsibilities? And it's interesting. Is that the way, first of all, is that the way we're looking at the Lord today? Are we watching the Lord and saying, Lord, as I'm moving through this world, there are things that you want done. Can I see them? We open my mind and my heart to those things so that when I get the slightest hint, I'm there, I'm doing it, I'm in action for you. And so she's a good servant, a good slave, if you like. She's a good maid to her mistress, just as she says, because this is an example of how to be a good servant to Jehovah. And Peter said, you see, I love this. It's like you can bounce all around in the scriptures. You just follow that thought. To preach a long time on just these few verses, right? Peter said, how does he say it? Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Okay? For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering, or wrongfully. Okay? So, hey, if you suffer, if you take that God has called you to that suffering, and he has a purpose for you to demonstrate Christ. Now we're getting into this mindset of this little Syrian girl, because she says, a little girl captive in Syria, because she says, I see a need and I know what the solution is and I'd like to bring it to pass. Not I see the people who have carried me captive. Not I see so Naaman was, he was important. He was the king's right-hand man, quite literally. Okay? He was so close to the king that when the king went to worship, he stood by him in the temple, giving him support. No, being the bodyguard or the closest person to the king, that trusted. So he's an idol worshiper at this point. Okay? But she's not looking and saying, oh, may God judge the sins of this Syrian people. You know, may God look at how he's conquering our people. She's like, how can I help him? It's so interesting, isn't it? Because here, and I talked about this, the mind of God made manifest in that little girl. Did she know that she was thinking the thoughts of God? Did she get a great inspiration that came down? A great angel comes to her and says, I reveal to you that the Naaman needs to go and see this. No, the Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible says something about her that she captured the mind of God in that moment, which was, Naaman is a leper and God can heal him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? Okay? Because it's you think about mixing a cake or making a nice chili, if there is such a thing, you know, where you're saying, okay, I'm going to take a pinch of that and a splash of this and a bit more tomatoes and a bit more beans. And I remember reading about one guy. He said, I was making a chili and I knew exactly the taste that I wanted. And so I started putting this, the mince and the different things in, and I'd taste it. And no, I need more of this and taste it. Oh, I need more of that. Oh, too much of that. I need to put a bit more of this in. He said, by the time I got there, he said, I got it perfect. I got it tasting exactly the way I wanted. He said, but I had like 3 gallons full of it. You know, okay. And so God says, I want to mix in a little bit of this. I'm mixing a little bit of that. You know, I need a little bit of Ruth in my David. Yeah. I need a little bit of Gentile. I need a little bit of Jew. I need a little bit of Abraham. You know, I need a little bit of David. I need a little bit of Timothy. I need a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I'm going to mix it all together because that's going to bring out exactly the flavor that I want. And God said, in my scripture, I need a little bit of Naaman. How am I going to get there? Well, I guess what are the choices? I could send Elisha to him. I could have him born as an Israelite. He said, no, I'm going to have somebody go capture a little girl from Israel, sell her as a slave, and have her bring him in. Oh, what a path. What a path. Okay? But I'm betting if somebody said to you, listen, it's before the foundation of the world. And God is saying, all right, I need some volunteers. And I need someone who's going to be captured as a slave, be sold into slavery, going to talk to Naaman. Your name won't be in the Bible. You're going to have about 3 verses in the Bible. Okay? No one will know it was you, but you'll know it was you. All right? How many of us would be like, oh, pick me? You mean I'm going to be in the scriptures? You mean I'm going to be memorialized in here? That's going to be my part? I don't care how big or small. I don't need my name in there. Just write a verse or two about me. And God says, okay, I'll give you 3 verses. Verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4. Oh, wouldn't you be happy just to have that much of you memorialized in the scripture? Oh, man. Okay, so, yeah, the word Derek appears in the scripture about 918 times, you know, in the Old Testament. So, but sometimes you have to go through a very hard road to get into the place where God says, yeah, now I can use you, all right? And now the mind of Christ, oh, so wonderful. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took on him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, suffered in death. That this is the mind that's meant to be in you. This is the mind that was in that little girl. Yeah, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't be angry. Rather, give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You might be angry at the wrong person. What if she'd been mad at Naaman? This would have never happened, right? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so you should be looking for the good in everyone, looking to bless everyone, looking to pray for everyone that you can. What's the coals of fire? We did that study. The only way to melt metal in the ancient world, was with charcoal. Yeah? Remember that lesson? Oh, that's so wonderful. Charcoal, wood that's burnt twice, once to remove the impurities and once to be in service. And you can't be in service until you have that impurities removed from you. Heap coals of fire, purified coals in service to God to say, okay, underneath this hard heart, this rock hard heart, there's an ore so precious that when it breaks and melts, it's going to come out as pure silver or pure gold, And I'm going to have a part, even though I have to be burned on a fire to produce this for God. Okay? And then maybe my name won't be memorialized in Scripture. Maybe I won't even get one verse. But I'll know that I've done my part in the plan of God to bring his kingdom to this earth. And that's a blessing if we can do that. Because the Lord, well, not slack concerning his promise. He's not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. So who's in your life that you're willing and wishing that they would just perish? Well, or if you think hard enough, there might be a few people. But that's the people that you need to heap coals of fire on. All right. So, but she had a reward, even in the life, because let's just turn over the page, or at least it's over the page in my Bible, to verse 15 in 2 Kings chapter 5. So his flesh is made clean. He returned to the man of God. He and all his company came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." He urged him to take it, but he refused. He came with a lot of money and a lot of gifts. Okay. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifices to other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself down in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." And he said unto him, "Go in peace." And he departed from him a little way. And we know the story of Gehazi. And it's so interesting that he's, even back then, this is like a precursor of what Paul said about if someone invites you to a feast and you want to go, go. Like, if you know it's an idol and you're worshipping, you know, you're bowing yourself down because you're in the company of others, in one way, who cares? God doesn't care. He only cares if your motive and objective are right. Now, it's not a lesson that you could give to the Hebrew children before the 3 fiery furnace. You know, theirs was a slightly different path. Excuse me, but his is still a called path. You understand what I'm saying? It's so interesting, these nuances that are in the Scripture. All right? So whatever God has put your hand to do, go and do it. Whatever, I remember when I had an interview with a manager at one of the jobs I was at here, and I was interviewing for promotion. It was kind of interesting because this was back when I was working at Lawn Ranger. And I was just out there mowing on a stand-up mower, and the scripture came to me. The Lord spoke to me with the scripture. "Promotion cometh not from the east or from the west, from the Lord." A couple of days later, they made me a crew leader in that company, and part of the interview was, "Hey, Derek, you know, the language around here is kind of crude, and we notice you never swear, and it's like, is that going to be a problem?" I'm like, "No, it's not going to be a problem. It's not something I willingly immerse myself into. But if someone's using foul language, why should that offend me? Because I'm in that worldly environment." Okay? And so, when you're in certain environments, be true to yourself and walk right before the Lord. And don't worry about anything. If things start bugging you, if things start troubling you, take it to prayer, because maybe that's a sign that you're not meant to be in that position. But if it's not bothering you, and it didn't bother me, because I feel like if they're taking the Lord's name in vain and they're using all kinds of foul language, man, they need someone there who's going to show them that there's a different way to do things and maybe be the way before them. Who knows? Okay? That's just talking of the calling that I have. All right? But here comes Naaman, and he's coming back home. And he's clean from his leprosy. And he's converted to serving Jehovah. And not only that, he's brought back with him 2 mule loads of the soil of Israel to spread on his ground and to say, here I worship Jehovah. Here my family worships Jehovah. Maybe he spreads it in his yard. Maybe he makes a chapel and lines it with that soil. And he says to that little maid, maybe, I don't know. But I would imagine it would be something like, come and worship with us on the land that God gave to Israel under your feet. Amen. So, wherever God puts you and however he gets you there, don't get hard, don't get angry. Stay in prayer, stay soft towards people. Look for the good and how to bring God into the lives of those people. Don't worry if what you're saying sounds crazy. Oh, it did sound crazy. You can read the king of Israel, he said, they're trying to trap me, they're trying to, you know. But be like that little maid in your attitude towards others around you, no matter where you've ended up. And look for your name and position in the scripture, because it's there. God will show it to you, okay? Took me years, but he showed it to me this evening, all right? So, praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good God, speaking to us, giving us your love, your wisdom. Lord, may we take that out into this world, and may we be lights shining bright as you put this little girl into Syria to be a light shining bright, to bring someone to you that needed to be brought to you. May we also be that. May we look for how and who we can serve in this life. Lord, if I've said anything wrong, bring it to your light. For the things that you said, may they sink down in our hearts and bring forth the fruit that you've ordained for it. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall away. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return Dismiss us in a word of prayer. Okay. Do you want to come and dismiss us? I've been speaking for about an hour. Someone else can take a turn. You want to come and dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Give us all a good safe drive home tonight, Lord. I pray that you just help everybody that's sick, Lord. I pray that you just help us all to keep going and grow closer to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. God bless you all.